Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Okay, we've started. Is your chair all right, mate?
No, I don't.
Well, can you try and fix it during the Great Big Owl Sting?
Yes, okay. But I've been trying to fix it for 5 to 6 minutes now, so
it's unlikely
I'll succeed, but let's try it.
We've got to crack on, Dave. We've got to get to work.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
So the problem is it no longer tilts back.
Okay.
It's like a big comfy office chair. Set the scene here. Yeah. But the problem is, I feel like such an old fart.
But that's why I'm here, because I'm older and fartier than you, which makes you feel younger and less gaseous, which is nice for you.
I feel very ageist for saying that, but this feels like a problem that my grandparents would have, not knowing how to fix a chair to recline. Do you know what I mean? There's two handles on the chair, Tom. One of them goes up and down. Surely the other one is a backity-backity, but a backity-forwardy. But
is there anything funnier in the world than when someone thinks they're doing the backity-backity handle under the chair and they pull the wrong handle and they just go straight down?
I've just done it like three times.
And they go straight down.
Straight down.
Nothing funnier. I've done that live on air on the radio before, and it is genuinely the funniest thing you can do. And yet that can never translate to a radio format, Dave, never.
No. Can you hear the squeaks?
Yeah, there's a bit of a squeak there. Yeah.
Is it okay? This is content?
I think it's pretty good to us. We're starting a new week on a high. You know, we ended last week with Funtime Friday, putting out arguably our best ever episode. And now it's Chair Monday. Yeah, it's all right. Helen Monks will be here soon, so things will pick up. Be fine.
Chairman Mao.
I've got an increased...
Come on, that was all right.
Chairman Mao.
Monday.
Right.
Chair Monday. Chairman Mao. No, not happy with it.
No, I don't know why. That one really depressed me. The problem I've got, Dave, as discussed, is that we've talked about this just a little bit before we started recording. I just made myself Nutella on toast, and I really made a mistake in that. Well, it's not a mistake because everyone does it. You cannot make Nutella on toast without having at least 6 scoops and just jamming them into your gob straight off the knife. Right? It's just something you do. It's like it's like a tax you have to pay. So when you see someone eating Nutella on toast, that's just the tip of the chocolate iceberg that they've gorged on, right?
Sure.
And I've just done that, and I've had way too much. Only one piece of toast. My wife was like, why are you only having one piece of toast? And I said, well, because I'm eating 6 slices of toast worth of Nutella, but I'm just having the one piece of toast for show.
Sure. Yeah. What you want is spoons of Nutella, right?
Yeah, the toast was incidental.
That's like when I really just fancy sort of garlic mayonnaise and then I have to think of what to cook to make it okay to just eat garlic mayonnaise.
So you don't get judged by people nearby. Whereas if I was by myself, I'd have just scooped it all out and got on with my day. Anyway, the problem I've got is I've now got a terrible sugar crash and I just feel really morose and depressed.
Well, that's how I feel, mate, because I can't even pissing recline.
You can't sit on a chair properly. And I'm getting diabetes. You can actually hear my pancreas squeaking with the insulin problems at the moment. It's a great start to the week. Also, Dave, I've got an increased sense of jeopardy right now for this recording because Beth has gone out on a run and left me with the 2 kids. So right now I'm technically recording this and the 2 kids are in the house at the same time. I don't think that counts as neglect, but there's a sense that at any moment it might all kick off.
Right. That is tricky, isn't it?
Which she's never done before, because up until this point, she's always respected the fact that I'm working. And she said, I really want to go for a run. And I was like, oh, well, I'm working at, 11:15. And she said, yeah, what are you doing? And I said, well, I'm doing Cabin Fever with Dave. And she went, yeah, I'm going for a run. Fucking rude.
Yeah, that respect has all but evaporated, hasn't it?
Yeah, it really has. Week one, she'd have been like, absolutely right, I'll stay in the house. I'll make sure the kids do something quiet. Week 10, she's like, right, give the kids and tell her, laters.
Absolutely livid for you and on behalf of us.
Exactly. No respect.
We started recording this a few minutes late, and that is because I know you'll be waiting for the exciting incident.
Yeah.
That's because I opened the dishwasher
Oh, yeah.
to unload it, And, well, this could be innovation at its finest. I don't know if it's going to work out well or badly. But Cornelius last night put the... We have a lime squeezer, you know, like one of those things you put a half a lime in and it juices it.
So like a giant garlic crusher or...
Yeah,
like
exactly like that. I mean, like one of the... with a sort of... Yeah, you put it in, you pull the two things together, boom, lime juice.
Because you get the lemon squeezer. The lemon squeezer is more like a sort of giant sort of China nipple, isn't it? The lemon option.
Yes. Oh, yeah. That's more of a... Yeah, you sort of... you waggle it onto it, don't you? What's the word? Not waggle,
waggle it onto it. I don't know, but...
Sidey-sideys.
Waggle that fruit onto my crockery. Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Yeah, but the limes... Anyway, long story short, he popped the lime squeezer into the dishwasher, but... I mean, you can work out what he hasn't done.
He absolutely hasn't taken the lime out of there, has he?
Hasn't taken the lime out.
Oh,
so
no.
All of the plates now smell limey fresh, which actually is an effect that I imagine a dishwasher detergent might be going for. So
yeah.
Maybe it's a new thing. Is that, if we are live on the radio now, it'd be useful for me to say, is that good or bad?
Good or bad?
Flipping egg, Dave. Come on, wake up.
It's all right, don't worry. This is Helen Monk's day, but it's also a day when we're just on a low, so it's fine. You know,
yes,
we know that
exactly.
We'll get it. We'll make lots of mistakes. Good or bad.
What I was going to say is somebody listening definitely will either say that's ridiculous, put the dishwasher on again, or I'll go,
I use lemon to clean my microwave.
Or like, it does, but it does feel like lemon / lime. Maybe it's more lemon than lime that's a cleaning agent. I don't know.
What I want to know is,
you tell me,
why do people who use natural cleaning agents get so fucking angry about it? That's what I want to know. I often bleach my surfaces with lemon juice. You're like, yeah, great, just chill out, man. Don't use real bleach, piss lemon instead.
Is it technically bleach if it's a lemon? Are you not just flavoring your surfaces?
Yeah, but having said all of that, I think that could be quite a good business idea. You could invent a device where you put a bit of fruit, a bit like the in the water bottles that they use on Love Island.
You put
a bit of fruit in the dishwasher and you leave a sort of a tang of fruit on all the things you've washed.
A fruit hammock.
A fruit hammock! A fruit hammock sounds like a rude name for a type of thong.
Guess what I bought this weekend, Tom?
Did you buy yourself a thong? Did you pop your fruit in the fruit hammock?
No, I actually bought a fruit hammock. That's why that phrase came into my head. Yeah.
Well, hang on, what is an actual fruit hammock? Do you hang your bananas on?
Plums in the bottom. No, it's an elaborate fruit bowl, but it's, if you will, imagine like a metal hammock, and then, but it's two-layered metal fruit hammock.
Oh, wow.
So now my bananas are separated from my other fruits, so they don't rot them all. So having a great time. Looks lovely.
This is the actions of a man who puts fruits into his fruit bowl, and then obviously, because he's Dave Cribb, doesn't fucking eat it because it's got nothing to do with garlic mayonnaise, and it just rots. I mean, that's essentially all new fruit arrives in my house like it's on a death sentence because it knows it's just going to rot unused.
Yeah, it's a sad time, isn't it? It's kind of like flowers for me. They make the place look nice for a bit and then they die.
Yeah. What have you killed recently? Get in touch. Cabin FE83709.
Oh, 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 that's our Twitter name. I got some free money yesterday, Tom.
No way.
Absolutely free.
How? Okay, with like 1p on the floor or something.
This is going to sound like a...
Is this like when you stole from Amazon the other day?
No, that's that money has now been donated.
Did you really donate it?
Yeah, I actually rounded it up to £100 and donated it.
Dave Cribb, I salute you, my friend.
There you go.
Good.
But no, this is going to sound like a sort of brand deal / advert / sponsor message, but I can assure you, as we've said many times, this podcast is not sponsored by anyone.
Hello, Disney Plus.
Hello, Disney Plus, you little. But big shout out to the American Express Corporation. Is that
the those guys.
The good guys, the little guys.
Somebody in the American Express office. I'm running through. Guys, we've got a sponsor of this podcast. It's huge.
But
brought to you by Amex. Yeah, go on.
Got an email from Amex yesterday saying if you spend £100 between now and August on either Deliveroo or Marks and Spencer's or Waitrose, it's free. We'll credit you £100.
No.
So I went to Marks and Spencer's and spent £93. And that was free. And now I've still got £7 towards my next Deliveroo. I'm absolutely thrilled.
So by the end of this, you'll have had £200, basically, worth of free stuff. I mean, I know you gave £100 to charity.
No, £100.
No, but including the free Amazon order as well.
I see. Yeah.
This is why the economy's in so much trouble, Dave. This is like the subprime mortgage credit crunch all over again. It's the lunch crunch, because Dave's buying all his lunch for free.
I did the biggest of big shops, I'll be honest. Yeah. I, you know, I think I always do this when I feel like I've been economically efficient by not having takeaways for basically I've had one a week for the whole of lockdown.
Yeah.
I've been very disciplined, which, considering I'm eating three meals a day at home.
Yeah, but I would say your one takeaway a week is enough for six meals, and it sort of you does keep you going a bit. For example, I mean, I had a takeaway last night, and I'm having Peshwari bread for lunch, so I'm with you on that.
Oh, that's so great.
That's so good, so good.
But it turns out that what I do now is just every time I go to the shop of a week to be like, oh, I'll get the ingredients for food, I spend more than I would have done on bloody takeaways. It's ridiculous.
Oh, I see. Yes, that's the problem.
Because you get all the like loads and other bits while you're there. Oh, this is nice, isn't it?
Yeah.
I bought two different types of wine vinegar yesterday. Red and white. I presume they're the only two. I don't think anyone's doing rosé wine vinegar, are they?
You know what you can do with the wine vinegar, of course.
Mm?
Very good for cleaning your pans. Clean your pans with my vinegar. Oh, I get so cross. Calm down.
So there you go. That's my exciting weekend. Did you watch the space launch?
Did I watch the space launch? I did not, because I was watching Captain America 2 with the boys, but we then went up to bed, and my wife and I stayed up, guys. We stayed up until 10 past 10 to watch the flyby, the drive-by of the space station. So we didn't see the launch, but we watched the space station go past at 10 past.
Right.
Did you watch the launch live then?
So here's what I accidentally did. Absolutely textbook Dave Cribb here. I watched, I'd say, 3.5 hours of the build-up.
Okay.
Of the prep of, you know, which is like, it's like, you know, that slow television thing that people love. Like, it's like that because it's basically just watching technicians plug stuff in for 3.5 hours, you know?
Ooh, well, but yeah, but mate, you know that if I am never happier than when I'm plugging stuff in. When I set up a new gadget and I'm plugging wires in, that's when I start to sing to myself because I'm at my happiest. Lovely stuff.
So people, and then strapping the astronauts in dusting them off. They have to dust them properly. Like, they can't have any dust on them. It's wild.
Why? Because it might have infections. Or because the dust gets in the...
Interfere with the things, yeah.
Wow. Oh, my God. They'd have problems with us and our beards, wouldn't they? Can you imagine?
Oh, absolutely.
Beards, like old cushions. I'd be banging those in the back garden.
I don't think our beards are the main obstacle between us and being professional astronauts.
I think my new Nutella gut is the main problem. Gutella.
Gutella. Hello.
That's what I'm calling myself. I'm Gutella.
we can make that catch on.
Oh, I'm up for that.
If you've got a Nutella gut, let's make that a thing, please, everybody. Hashtag Gutella.
Hashtag Gutella, please. Confess that you've been spooning out chocolate sauce. Not even chocolate sauce. We're talking about chocolate spread straight into your face. So you watched it in the end. You saw it.
Well,
go up.
So I watched 3.5 hours of the prep, and then I'll be honest, Tom. I did 20 minutes of yoga as per my new yoga regime.
Lovely beans. And how was that for you?
My legs are killed.
Okay, good.
This morning, stairs are not my friend. And then I thought, oh, do you know what? I'll have a quick shower just in time. It was probably about 45 minutes before the launch happens.
Yeah.
And then, like, I don't know, it must be like the goldfish is the too cliched version of this. But it's like when, there's an episode of Doctor Who. Where is it, Doctor Who? Fuck, you'll tell me if this is right or not.
Go on.
But where you forget that the monster isn't there when you can't see them.
Oh, Blink. Is that Blink?
No, Blink's the one where you're not looking at them, they move.
Oh, yes. I don't know, but lots of our fans will be Doctor Who fans, so they'll tell us, yes.
Yeah, there's another one where, and I wish I could put my pissing finger on this.
No, use your pissing finger for other things, please.
You turn around, you see the whatever it is, I can't remember what it is, and then you turn around and you've immediately forgotten it exists.
Oh, that's good.
It's fucking incredible.
I'm like that with my kids.
Terrifying. Well, so this is what happened to me, is I went to have a shower, and then... just as if by my brain, I just got back into the kitchen and just started making dinner, and then an hour later I went, oh fuck, I've missed it, and I just completely they're just gone. So after all that bloody build up I completely missed it. So I thought, I'm not going to miss the flyby. So it was Punch Saturday, by the way, yesterday, Tom. So
oh god, more on that shortly. We must get Helen on, she's waiting too long. But can I just say, Dave, I'm really pleased that you did watch the build up, Dave, because you know what that means.
Yep,
you watched the build up. My mate bought a toaster. We go through celebrities' Amazon purchase histories so you don't have to. Keep calm and love Dom Jolly novelty keyring and fridge magnets.
Yeah, I love that.
The G-spot.
The Good Vibrations Guide.
Green Dot Laser Sight Rifle Gun Scope.
I've bought that quite a lot of times, I think.
Right, okay. The Sex Doctor's Guide to Keeping It Hot.
Ah, interesting.
Did another child come along 9 months later?
Yeah.
Loads of great apps up now, and new ones dropping every Monday. That's My Mate Bought a Toaster from Great Big Al.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, monks. Hello and welcome.
Hello and welcome to me.
Did you enjoy, It's the Build Up?
Absolute classic comedy gold. I have had to change my knickers because I weed myself laughing.
Good news. Good news. This show does come with a knicker warning. Actually, to be fair, Hello Monks, talking of warnings on this show, if you go to the reviews section of Cabin Fever, right, and you look at our reviews, which we hadn't done for weeks, and it turns out people have said nice things, which is lovely. And then one person says, I especially love Helen Monk's Day. Makes Monday so much better.
Oh, I bet that was my mum.
Yes, of course. Yes, from Mummy Monks. There it is.
That's so nice. Thank you very much.
Isn't that lovely? How are you, please?
Well, I'm good. I'm good.
Cool. Anything? Is there an elephant in this room at the moment we need to talk about?
No, I just had this sudden thought, or I haven't actually sat down and thought about my feelings for a while. So when you ask how I am, it's a bit of a triggering question, but I think I'm okay.
I thought you were... Can I... You know WhatsApps that we exchange privately, Helen? Are they supposed to stay private, or can I read out what you sent me at 11:45 last night?
You can read out what I sent you. That's fine.
Great. Oh, lovely.
23:44 on a Saturday night. So pretty party Saturday night for Helen Monks.
Yeah, it's a late one.
There's two sentences in this. Two questions. Have you watched Contact as the first one? So Helen's obviously done her prep, because we're going to talk about Contact today.
Yeah, good. Yeah, we're going to talk about Contact because I want Dave to watch Contact because it's one of the best films ever made. Yeah, cool.
And the second question, did you also think it was dog shit?
Oh, whoa. I got a message from Helen saying, are you trolling me?
I honestly have a theory, Tom, that this has all been a big ploy to try and get me and Dave to sit down for 2.5 hours.
It's so long. Oh, it's lovely. I wish it was longer, mate. I wish it was 13 hours, much like the 13 hours of Static. Oh my God.
Are you honestly? I honestly cannot. It's like cognitive dissonance. I cannot believe that you, the person that I think I know, is also the person who's seriously recommending this.
Hang on, I'm getting someone coming through on the other channel. Wait one sec. Oh my god.
Oh my god.
Oh yeah, I think the vegans are coming through. Oh, that noise. Oh, I love it. So, if you haven't watched the film Contact,
it was so bad that the second half I watched most of it on fast forward, and then
No. Oh, Helen.
Oh, it's watching like an alien film, but it's watching all the people who do all the admin. It's literally the dullest.
Yes.
I've never, ever in my life felt simultaneously stressed and bored at the same time. It was just...
Now you're ready for parenthood, because that's what parenthood is. High anxiety, sheer boredom. But can I just dial back a second, right? This is exactly what it is. It is the administration, the reality,
the real
politic of what would happen if suddenly a signal arrived on the airwaves from another civilization. What a mind-blowing concept. It's an amazing film. It's based on the Carl Sagan book from 1985.
You don't want to watch what would really happen. It's like in CSI, if they didn't do a montage of when they look at all of the gloopy bits and the tubey things, you'd be watching people at their office jobs. It's so, you can't, you have to have some kind of editing and put the dramatic bits at the forefront. You can't just watch a load of people have a load of meetings.
Dramatic bit at the forefront. Do you not think Jodie Foster lying on the bonnet of a lovely car in the Mexican desert, hearing a signal from another species is not an exciting bit? I mean, that is...
No.
What?
I mean, Dave, back me up. Am I right? It was the most... They managed to make the most exciting premise the most boring thing I've ever seen.
It's sort of the reverse of this podcast.
So what I would say is that considering what happens at the end, and this is a spoiler, if you don't want to know what happens at the end of Contact, there's a spoiler. But considering at the end, she basically travels through multiple wormholes to a different galaxy, a different planet, and meets aliens, that happens for like 4 minutes after 2.5 hours of administrative... organization.
The best bit of any thriller or whodunit or alien-y type thing, the best bit is the build-up. The best bit is the excitement and the preparation and the what if. When it actually happens, you look at any film like that, when it actually happens, it's a letdown. When you find out who the murderer is, you're excited for a bit and then it's a letdown. So they save that to the end. They give you a little... I just spunk a little bit of aliens on you and then the film's over and that's all you need.
That's really good to know, because basically what I did was I fast forwarded and play a bit, and then I was like, look, I'm just going to watch the last 5-10 minutes and I accidentally fast forwarded too far and I ended up at the credits, and part of me went, oh, I should probably rewind and watch the end to find out what happens, and then I just thought, no, I'm just going to go to bed.
Oh, you've really missed that. Do you know what, Helen, I feel sorry for you. I feel sad that you've not. I feel sad that you've not allowed yourself this experience. Now I know what it feels like when I've got a very, very Christian family. Half my family are really Christian, and I'm not Christian. And this is what they say to me about me not believing in God. They're like, I feel sorry for you. You've not got this, and I feel sorry for you, Helen. You know, you're not going to get to come to our Contact meetings, and you're not going to get to come to my annual Christmas Eve watch Contact with the family-a-thon, which I do.
Do you actually?
So hear yourself, though. Hear yourself. You're comparing yourself to people that you don't agree with or respect, because the...
So the follow-up...
Contact is bigger than any of us.
The follow-up... I did reply saying, why is it Tom's favourite film?
Yeah.
And Helen said, honestly, I don't know him. It's changed everything.
Guys, it's just... I watched it... I first watched it when I was 18 years old. And my girlfriend at the time made me watch it, and it just imprinted this amazing leap of imagination, and it's really exciting, and I love Jodie Foster, is brilliant in it, and it's the moment when again, spoilers, when the terrorist explodes the machine that they built to travel to another world, and you're like, I just did not see that coming, and then someone else comes along and says, we've got a secret one we've been building, and you're like, oh fuck, she can go, and then she goes, but then she comes back. And they say they have this big inquiry, and they decide it was fake. They decide it was fake, but then they say, she says, "But I recorded it," because she basically took like a 90s GoPro on her helmet.
By watching the film.
Right. And they say you claim you've gone for 13 hours, but nothing was recorded. And they say, well, at the end, yeah, but there was 13 hours of static. Oh, Dave, come on, you've been very fancy about this, Dave.
Shall I read you Sarah Cribb's review?
I really like Sarah Cribb. I don't want this to go wrong for me.
Because you subjected not just Helen and I to Contact.
Didn't say
Sarah
subjected
Cribb.
You to it. This is
that's unfair, isn't it? You've forced Helen and
I
to watch.
I have recommended one of my favourite movies. I've asked you to join my cult, my Contact cult.
Yes, it's guilty.
I'm a Jodie witness.
Sarah Cribb. It was no Jurassic Park. That's what she said.
Fair. Okay, I can take that. I'm genuinely stressed about this. Go on.
I mean, that is basically the entire review. And then she, as an afterthought, said, although Jodie Foster was giving it some quite Laura Dern vibes, but maybe that's because both their characters are called Ellie? That's it. Right. Jurassic Park, for context, is Sarah Cribb's favourite film.
Now that I would watch. We could watch that next week and then talk about how great that is.
I want a Jurassic Park where you watch 2.5 hours of people getting their passports stamped in order to travel to the island, and the last 2 minutes you see a dinosaur on the horizon, credits. That's what I want.
This is what I mean. You've been trolling us. You knew it was boring. You knew it was about admin.
It's magical. You just need a bit of imagination. Oh my God.
It makes loads of sense that you watched it when you were a teenager. It's like me trying to get my teenage neighbours to watch Skins now, saying God is cutting edge stuff, because it's a catalyst for a genre or for other films that then you don't go back and watch Skins. the first series of Skins. That would be that would be terrible.
Got no interest in watching that shit. None at all.
It was great, Skins, though.
It was great. It was great. But we can't expect a younger generation, no offence, Tom, you old man, to understand.
Hang on.
This has turned
very
This has got nothing to do with generations. It's just quality. It's just knowing good quality, Helen. Helen, when you've lived a little and you've got more life experience, you'll appreciate what a fascinating film this is. Dave, you've given me Sarah Cribb's opinion. What is Dave Cribb's opinion? Bearing in mind, Dave, that we work together and this is effectively my religion.
Yeah, it feels like you're steering the question there to
No, how is that a leading question?
Can I tell you what Dave Cribb's opinion is? So he missed out a message in his replies to my messages to him.
That is true.
Which was very diplomatic of him. But I said, have you watched Contact? Did you also think it was dog shit? He replied, it's not good, is it? And then,
Dave?
Why is it Tom's favourite film?
Dave? I'm currently reading, your book I'm reading at the moment.
What?
Contact by Carl Sagan.
I mean, I believe that the book's probably good.
I do not.
Do you want a reading from the book? Ellie was in the midst of packing notes, magnetic tapes, and a palm frond for shipment to Japan when she received word that her mother had suffered a stroke. Finding that funny, are you, Dave? Laughing at strokes? For sake, unbelievable. All right, well...
Her mum's not even in the film.
No, and in the book... Five of them travel together. No, the dad's dead. In the book, five of them travel together, not just her by herself, which is quite interesting. Can some listeners back me up, please? If you think Contact is one of your favourite films, can you give me a tweet and make me feel better, please? And make these charlatans realise they're missing out on one of the finest films ever made. Give us a tweet. Thank you, to make me feel better. Cabin FE83709.
That's our Twitter name. I tell you what I did really like.
Yeah.
There was one when a dad dies, and I didn't like that bit per se, but
right,
there was an incredible camera shot when she runs upstairs to get the meds.
Yes.
And you think that the camera's in front of her, but then it turns out it was in the mirror.
Yeah, that's
it was
good.
Like, my brain cannot fathom out how they did that.
Really clever. It's a good movie, isn't it?
It's a good 5 seconds. Yeah, it's a great 5 seconds.
I really, really, really liked the first 5 minutes. I thought, wow. When it first started, I thought I hadn't got the sound on because it was all silent, like an old people movie, you know, where they just put the title up without any da-da-da.
Yeah.
And then I realised, oh my God, it's because it's about there not being any noise, and then there was all the noise of the frequency.
Oh, isn't that brilliant? What a great start that is.
Yeah, amazing, amazing. And then I had a big existential cry, actually. It did as it zoomed out of all the planets, the solar system, outer solar system, like into the universe, out of space that we can't even comprehend.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is amazing. Tom has pulled it out of the bag. And then
the film started.
2 hours, 25 minutes.
You fast forwarded. It's such a clever idea that the first signal, the aliens bounce back. I shouldn't tell you this much because if you've not watched it,
it's spoiled now, isn't it?
It's ruined. But the first signal the aliens bounce back is Adolf Hitler, because that was the first big radio signal stuck out in the opening of the 1936 Olympics. So that is the first signal that reached the Vegans, and they bounce it back to us. Oh, it's
Yeah, the Hitler bit was a weird twist, actually, to be fair.
Think I fast-forwarded that bit. I don't remember Hitler.
I think this is unfair. This is like flicking through the new Hilary Mantel and saying, yeah, it's not all that. You've got to watch it properly.
I watched the first, like, hour.
5 minutes. You just said you watched 5 minutes and then you cried and you fast-forwarded it.
Yeah, that, to be fair, that is damning.
I thought it was good. And then the film started, and that's when I was like, oh, my God. And then I gave it a long time, and then after about an hour, I was like, I can't do another hour and a half of this. And that's when I didn't fast forward loads. I just skipped. I watched it on high speed.
I didn't look. Here's my final thought on this, and then we'll move on. And maybe we should make a weekly film club, because I think it's only fair now that, Helen, that you and I bring our favourite film to the table.
That's a good idea.
The three of us watch it this week.
Okay.
I happily sat through it, Tom, and watched it. It was quite enjoyable.
Thank you. Quite an enjoyable film, Dave Cribb.
Yep. I don't think it's the world's best film, and it's interesting that it's your favourite film, but that's obviously got a nostalgia factor, which you've explained, and that makes more sense now.
I just think it's really interesting. Like, the universe is, like, really big, you know? And I just think you've got to think about that sometimes, you know? Do you know what I mean? Like, chances are there's someone out there.
Referenced already that a terrorist blew up the first attempted launch, which put me a bit on edge yesterday watching SpaceX.
Oh yeah, that's true.
So it did give it a little bit of an edge to that.
Imagine if one of the astronauts was a great big blonde guy with massive long blonde hair. That'd be freaky. That's a reference to the film. Guys, can I Can I tell you about something?
Is it going to be boring, like contact?
You can hear. Oh, God, it's so exciting. They unpack that sound signal and they build a... Oh, it's so good.
Yeah.
No, so my son loves writing stories. And at the beginning of lockdown, he was writing really nice stories. And I was genuinely concerned about... In fact, one of our listeners is a psychiatrist. Maybe he can help me with this. He's written a story this morning, and I just noticed it when I got back from the dog walk. And I brought it upstairs, and I think I'm going to read it to you. And I'd like you to give me a quick evaluation. Let me know if I need to get in touch with some professionals. Would you mind?
Yes, please. I'd love this.
Okay, so it's called Ghost Hunter. And it says, Dave, it's for 12 and over.
Okay.
You're okay with that, aren't you?
Yeah.
Make sure Herc isn't there, because Herc obviously is younger than that.
Yeah, it's much younger than that.
Okay, chapter one, Into the Dark. There once lived a boy that was homeless on his own, and he only got about 1 pence a week. And he really wanted one thing, a gun. That was all he hoped for, and it never came. The closest time he ever got a gun was when his dad bought him one, but after that, it was a trick, and his dad got shot the day after. That was how he got homeless. Still, now it is a week until World War II stops, so he is in really big danger. One day, he was really bored, and he had a lie down on his pillow, and then fell. He had just fallen into a secret passageway. Just then, he thought, when will I land on ground? But he just kept on going down, 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 down into the dark, chapter two, nowhere. That's all he's done so far.
He's got a new chapter for the word nowhere.
I should say, sorry, then that's the end of the chapter. And then chapter two is called Nowhere. He hasn't written it yet.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Oh, God, he's a genius.
Good. Fine. Okay, so do you think that's better than contact?
It's
100%. It was gripping. It was twist and turning. Okay. I like that he revealed what time we were in, sort of halfway through, by saying the war had just ended.
Yes. Okay.
Things you know, things you don't know, reveals.
All right. Great. So I should encourage this. I don't need to be worried about the fact that he's writing about homelessness and guns and dead fathers. That
the opening line was a bit alarming, if I'm perfectly honest. Yeah, from a sort of psychology point of view, that might be worth exploring.
Yeah. No, he's messed up.
Oh, good. All right. Okay.
Here's a question for you guys.
Yeah, I'm ready.
I'll back explain my thought process, but I've been thinking about this for about 5-10 minutes now. What is the most famous postal code in the world?
Is it in the world? I was going to say W1A now after the TV series.
Okay, we can add W1A to it.
N-dubs, off of the band N-dubs.
Is that in the world, though?
E17.
Yeah,
East
good run.
17, yeah, in is the it world.
Zip code, though, I suppose.
90210.
I think 90210 probably is the answer. Yeah. But also, yeah, but maybe SW19 is the other one that I thought of.
Wimbledon.
Off of Wimbledon.
That's where I live.
Well, I know. So this is what, when we started talking about how long a walk it would be from your house to Dominic Cummings' house, aka Wimbledon to Islington, I suddenly thought, I'd be cool to live in SW19. That's a cool postcode to have. And then I thought, is there any other postcode apart from 90210 that everyone around the world knows?
Oh, that's a great question.
I would posit that W1A and E17 don't count, although they have their fan bases. There you go. That's all I've got for you. And I'll tell you what, I've Googled the world's most famous postcodes, and it's not very helpful.
Also, I'd rather it was a full postcode rather than just a postal area.
Oh, like a full... Well,
SW19 for PQ, then I'm watching.
Yeah, 90210 counts then, I guess, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Do you remember when it used to be your phone area number? Because in Birmingham, you'd have the 0121. 012121.
You know... Oh, good. I like that. You know the number... You know why Birmingham was 0121, don't you?
No.
Oh.
Oh, I'm excited.
Here come the fact seller. He got all the facts. Dave Porter, tired.
Tired.
Thank you. Because Birmingham begins with a B, so that's number 2 on the old school keypads.
Wait, but it's 0121.
Yeah. So because it used to be 0-2-1, didn't it? Before the 1 came along. It was so for example. I was only 6 when Contact was released.
That goes for Manchester as well. 061 it used to be.
Newport, where I was, where I grew up, was 0600. Monmouth, 0600, and that's N. Liverpool's 05, I think it was.
Wait, so it's the second one after the O.
Jesus Christ! No, so right. So,
that's the
game. Number that's not the end. It is, yeah. So it's the It's the number that's the bit of colour and a bit of interesting. So forget about the one. Move on from the one. It's the the 5 or the 2 or the 3 or the
2.
Yeah. So Birmingham is 2. 0121 because Birmingham used to be 0, I believe 0-2-1 or 0-1-2-1.
This is not as good a fact.
It's a great fact. You've just not understood it. It's like Contact. It's a great movie. You've just not understood it.
Can I interrupt for an excellent quiz? I found a 10-question quiz. And I say I found it. Steve sent it me on WhatsApp. So don't look at it, Tom. Okay. Of the UK's most famous postcodes, would you like to play postcode or nostcode? I don't know. It's not a great name.
Let's play the postcode notary.
The postcode notary. Very good.
Dave, can't we do postcode music? Come on, mate. You've got a piano there.
Postcode music?
Yeah. Postman Pat? The podcast is quite weak. We
How long
need
is this gonna
something
go for?
To entertain ourselves. Bum, bum, bum. Okay, let's do it.
Question one. SW1A1AA.
Ooh. Is that going live?
SW1A1AA.
Oh, I know what that is. That's Buckingham Palace.
Yes, it is Buckingham Palace. You're absolutely right. Why is it SW?
Southwest.
Yeah, because it's slightly in the southwest, I guess. It's not right in the middle.
Is it?
They couldn't call it the middle 1A, 1AA, could they? They'd have to do something with
I'd have thought if you were doing postcodes, wouldn't that just be like number one?
Yeah, anyway. But it's got to go somewhere on the... Anyway, go on.
Where is that place that's number one London? I remember it on an open top bus tour.
Canary Wharf, isn't it? Isn't that number one? Anyway, go on. Right.
Question two. M160RA.
Old Trafford.
How do you know so much about postcodes?
I'm losing, I'm so sad.
Is that right?
How do you know that?
You know why they call SatNav Tom Tom, right? It's in my name.
Oh, God.
SW1A2AA.
The Houses of Parliament.
Hello, monks.
Is that correct?
No.
Oh, shit. Oh.
Okay. SW1A, so that's where the Queen was, 2AA.
It's going to be near Buck Pal, isn't it? So it's going to be...
The V&A.
You've gone curveball. No, try the most famous address in the country that's not Buckingham Palace.
Standing Street.
There you go. Oh,
balls.
L95AS.
L9.
Leicester Cathedral. Yeah.
Would we call that a famous
L9?
L95AS. What does L stand for?
Oh, Anfield.
No. But you're in the right city.
Liverpool. One of their cathedrals?
Nope.
Liverpool.
Where the Beatles?
What's it called? The Cavern.
Cavern Club. These are all good guesses, but the answer is actually more horsey than that. Aintree.
Whatever. All right.
One for you here, Helen Monks.
Oh, God.
CV37.
Coventry Cathedral.
Warwick University.
CV37 6QW. Cross-reference in your head in the Venn diagram things that you have had something to do with and famous, very famous things.
Shakespeare's birthplace.
Oh. Exactly that.
Is that Stratford, is it?
In Stratford-upon-Avon.
Oh, okay. I love this game. This is a fantastic game. Yeah, go on.
Generally quite good, isn't it? HA90WS.
Helen's House.
0W.
If you don't know your own postcode, that is worrying.
HA9. All I can think of is Hatfield, but I'm not sure why the Hatfield would have its own postcode.
It's not Hatfield. Shall I give you the HA, what it stands for?
Yeah, go.
HA is Harrow.
Oh, well, Harrow School then, probs.
No, much more famous.
Wembley.
Wembley Stadium.
Oh, right. Good. These are great.
I can't take that. I literally Googled
did you
that.
Did you just Google that?
I'm so sorry. I was going to pretend, oh my God, as if I guessed, but no, I can't live with myself.
All right.
Stop cheating. Now, this one is, you should know if you know the general knowledge question that also relates to this. E20 2ST.
E20 is out in Essex, isn't it? It's like, EastEnders. Albert Square.
So here's the thing about the E20. The E20 is a real postcode as well as a fictional one, but one that didn't exist until 2012.
Oh, where you are, mate. Where you are. It's the
Olympic Stadium.
Yeah. Oh. It might have existed before that while they were building it, obviously. But,
sure.
Yeah, it's the Olympic Park, yeah. Isn't that mad?
Are these all of them? I've enjoyed these. Have they finished yet?
There's two more.
Keep going, Dave. This is the best bit of the bloody episode. Edit the rest out. Right, go on.
Okay, this one's a combo question. Bloody hell. Mm-hmm. E20, again, and M109KC. What are they? We've done this, basically.
Oh, right. EastEnders and Coronation Streets.
Coronation Street,
yeah,
correct.
Good. Yeah.
SW19 5AE.
That's Wimbledon.
Might be Wimbledon.
And then the final one, there's another combo one. TR19 and KW1.
TR?
Are they fictional?
No, they are real.
Oh, hang on. TR19.
He's Googling that.
I'm not. Stop judging me by your own low standards. I'm praying to the vegans above.
You can do the maths, I think, on at least one of these.
What was the second one?
KW9. Oh, no, sorry, KW1.
Oh, well, if it's KW1, it's KW1.
What's like? Do a TR. You can work out the TR, I think.
Trent?
No, but you saw...
Can you give us a clue of what connects them? Like, are they the same... Wait, they'll be really far away from each other.
Helen, you've absolutely done it. You've absolutely done it there.
They're very far away from each other.
Oh, Land's End to John O'Groats.
Correct. Yes. Truro. TR19 is Truro.
Oh, God. That quiz was absolutely fucking brilliant.
And KW, just for completists, is Kirkwall in the far north of Scotland. I really genuinely enjoyed that quiz. Thanks,
I
Steve.
I honestly don't think we should do anything else because the show is that we've absolutely peaked for everything. That's just what I love.
There is also a version of this quiz for America, which I feel like none of us would get any answers to.
We should have a go at that.
99501. Alaska, yeah. Sure. 33162. Miami Vice. Do we know that?
These just sound like one-time authentication passwords when you're logging into your Amazon. meaningless.
Anyway, there you go. End of episode. I think.
Thank
I don't
you.
Think we're going to beat that.
Oh, sorry. I pressed the sting too early. Then, guys, I floofed that. Sorry. So should we play the actual proper out end of episode music?
Yeah, that's it. We're done. Thanks, Monksy.
Thank you, guys. That was fun.
Lots of love, Helen. Nice to see you. See you back. Can you let us know, please? We'll have to have discussions maybe on Twitter to work out what film we're going to watch for Film Club next week.
I need to think of something that Tom will hate. That's going to be my punishment.
Can I just say, it's very important. It's very important that, A, there's going to be no resentment, and I'm not going to try and hate your film right back or anything. I'm just going to watch it completely objectively, and I'm going to give you the respect that your film deserves of watching the whole fucking thing without fast-forwarding it. Okay? That's just what I'm going to do.
I've chosen my film for you, Tom.
Go on.
It's the 2012 film Logistics.
Oh, I've never seen that.
And it is no, you won't have done. It's a film that follows the production cycle of a pedometer. Pedometer.
We should do a really boring film club.
All the way back. It goes back in reverse chronological order. And here's the crux, Tom. The entire project was filmed in real time, and clocks in at a cool 35 days and 17 hours. I do like the idea of the world's most boring films. Tweet us the most boring film you've ever watched, and that is what we should do. Rather than watching our favourite films, we should watch the world's most boring films. I really like that. Let's do that. Goodbye.
Okay, make us watch the most boring films you can think of. You know the Twitter number. Cabin FE83709. Oh, 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 Cabin FE83709. Oh, 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 Cabin FE83709. Oh, 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 that's our Twitter name. Hang on. One sec. GreatBigOwl.com.
Sorry, I was just looking it up.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.